Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Hannah! Just the one H, please. It can't be reversible. Hannah with just one H at the start. Not Anna, Hannah. But no,
How about?
we don't need that end H. Let's not be silly. Let's be all Scandinavian about it. Yeah. Hello. I am Richard. Welcome to Spoilerville Film Conversation. Hooray! With me to do a chat about a film is Anthony.
Hello.
Anthony with just one A. And also with just one A, Abby.
Hello.
Two A's in Anna, Hannah, though, isn't it? Well, shut up, Rich. So, this week we're discussing the film Hannah. Anthony picked it though, so he can fill you in on the details. Is there, just realizing this, is there an Amazon Prime series of this, or is it not related? Looks something like that.
There is. I haven't seen it, but it makes sense. Like, this is a story that could be expanded upon. There's a lot of like background details in this which aren't really explained, which could be in like in a series, but I've never seen it. I think
No.
it's supposed to be okay.
No, I've not seen it. I mean, I thought I hadn't seen this film, but then it turned out as I was watching it, oh yeah, I have done. But anyway, just if you could, Anthony, give us the credits and details of this.
Yes, okay, so Hannah, which was released in 2011, it's a action thriller film based around Hannah, who is a 15-year-old girl who has been raised by her father in the kind of like icy tundra of somewhere or other. And she's been trained to be like an assassin, but he fails to kind of like train her in any social skills. So when it's finally time for her to kind of go out into the world and take on the CIA, who are after both her and her father, and she finds herself in a few sticky situations. The film was directed by Joe Wright. It was written by Seth Lockhead and David Farr, and it stars Saoirse Ronan, Eric Bana, Cate Blanchett, Tom Hollander, Olivia Williams, and Jason Fleming.
So, Anthony, why did you select Hannah for us this week?
I remember when I first saw it was like 10 years ago. I went to see it in the cinema, and the main selling point for it for me was that it had a soundtrack done by the Chemical Brothers, which I like, and I think is the best part of the film. It's one of the like one of those soundtracks I kind of like come back to a lot
One you could just
over
listen
time.
to and on its own sort of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. And I did like the film at the time. I remember there being a few things a few problems I had with it, but I remember just liking the atmosphere and the feel of the film more than necessarily the plot of the film.
Sure.
And I just wanted to come back to it, and just see it again and see what you guys thought.
Yeah, 2011. What's that? That's like post-Bourne films, isn't it? Or some of them. They sort of was that about? That's
Yes.
about 2008. I feel like Bourne. I'm not sure now. It's starting to action movies started to take a different tone, which was more just shot differently and a bit more. I don't know, not brutal because they'd always been brutal action movies, but these sort of espionage pieces would often be more Bourne-like after a certain point.
Yeah, I think that was quite early in like the 2000s. So, yeah, a good like 10 years of it before this film.
Yeah, maybe it's just because I've rewatched them that I feel like they were a trendsetter, so they're on my mind. It doesn't have that much connected to that business. I like I already said, I thought I hadn't seen this, and I was going, oh yeah, well, I don't remember it properly. I remember the premise, generally, and I was like, all oh, right, yeah, I'll watch this. For the first time, I've been meaning to, and then it turns out I was meaning to previously, and I did get around to it and just forgot. So not, I don't know if that's good, really, is it, if you forget you watched it. I didn't watch it in 2011, 11, though. It was like properly later on, after a lot of people had talked it up as this cool action movie.
And in its defence, you watch a lot of film.
Yeah, but I feel like if you really speak to me, I remember you. I don't know. Memories are pretty bad all round, aren't they? They're terrible. I don't even remember my loved ones' faces if I don't see them directly in front of me. Probably pick them out of a lineup. Is that my mum? Or can number three step forward and say, "Richard, your breakfast ready?" No, it's not her. The next number four. That's the one. Hi, mum. Yeah, so this one, while I was watching it, I was going, oh, yeah, no. I was going, oh, it's familiar. And I was going, I actually have seen it. It's not just I've seen the trailer. I've fucking seen it all. I think with any film that's got a premise where there's an assassin that's particularly young, and especially if they're female, you're like, oh, yeah. And not in, like, I don't mean in a misogynistic way, that makes it all sound bad, but, like, I mean, movies with teenage assassins, I'm like, my eyes already know to start rolling at how cheesy or awkward it's going to be. It's always going to be a little bit. I mean, oh, what's a good. Like, I think even.
You're expecting more of like a sucker punch.
Yeah, something. Maybe a little less heavy on CGI, perhaps, than that. But I'm always a little wary of that premise, that sort of setup. Very, like, video game movie vibes, isn't it? But I don't know what I was expecting other than it could have been really cool. Like, I couldn't remember, but it could have been really one of those forgotten gems. I don't know, forgotten by me gems. But I don't know. I hadn't huge expectations one way or the other, and had seen it, so should have had some better ones. Abby, had you seen this before?
No, it's one of those ones that I just missed out on at the time, and it hasn't really crossed my path again until now. But it's one, like, I sort of softly been looking out for it, and if it had come on, like, Netflix or whatever, I would have watched it.
I mean, let's feel each other out a little bit here. Did anyone come away from this going, oh, do you know what? I'm really fucking pleased we watched this because there was such a load of things I loved about. Is anyone like, oh, this is great?
I think it's a good film.
Just skipping to the end of the review, it's just a little bit of a cup of tea problem for me where it's like, yeah, it's a perfectly fine film. It's just not my cup of tea.
My. If there's one word that I would sort of say stopped me really liking it, it would be the word silly. It's a very silly film. I think it's mainly down to the plot because, like you were saying, Anthony, the Chemical Brothers did a fine job on the soundtrack, and you know, I got room for a cool assassin girl trained up in a very feral way to take on, you know, vaguely evil CIA agents. That's fine. I can be entertained by hard-hitting action and lofty premises, but it did ask a lot of it asked me to suspend quite a lot of disbelief and to go along with a lot of silly premises and setups and stuff. So I was feeling a little bit like, come on, film. I don't know. Come on now, grow up, Blue. Doesn't make any sense. Why would you do this? Why would you have a? Why would a ex-CIA agent have a big box with a switch on it that tells the CIA where he is? What's that for? I guess it's something to do with, like, if you're a man on a mission, to tell you that you need rescuing. But what are we talking about? Sorry. But the main premise is that Eric Bana is playing someone called Eric, right? Eric something or other. Don't know, some ex-CIA. Sounds about right. Yeah. He's playing a German agent that worked for the CIA or something. Or I don't know if he was a double agent. He was working in Germany. And
this is what was bothering me throughout the film. Is there was an internationalness to everything that was more confusing than it was compelling.
We've got a lot of actors playing different races to what they are as well, which is fine. you could play outside your nationality, I don't mind that. But it is a bit like, when a bunch of English or Australian actors are doing dodgy German accents, and then, you know, when everyone's sort of trying to do foreign characters, I'm like, what? Why is that necessary? But yeah, and also a lot of the jet setting that happens, I don't even remember where we were half the time. Like, they're just vague holiday destination, road trippy places, aren't they?
Like, where did they begin that meant he could swim to Germany?
Well, they were like in the northern. I don't actually remember every place they were at, but they were in somewhere cold and remote where the CIA can't get their evil grips on Eric and his daughter, right? Scandinavian-ish.
Yeah, my first thought would be Scandinavia.
Or the Arctic Circle somewhere.
But then she ended up in Morocco?
I don't remember. They went lots of places, and none of them... I mean, it wasn't like Bond, where they're all huge landmarks. It was like, you know, oh, bus depot in Germany. You know, it wasn't like...
I think that's kind of the point. Because I suppose you're trying to get it from the perspective of Hannah, and all she's known is kind of like Arctic tundra. So she can't really distinguish anything else. So when she's kind of like thrown into it, it's like, it's not like Bond, where it's like, obviously him as a spy, he knows all these places and stuff. She's kind of like lost herself. So it kind of like...
Anywhere is a sort of anonymous place because she's never been anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be partly deliberate to keep these places looking like... It doesn't matter that much where they are, I suppose, as well as the other thing.
No.
But speaking of how she was raised, so I like that this film kept the details of the beef between the nasty CIA and the ex-CIA people. You know, it kept it vague. It didn't answer a lot of questions. Basically, it's a super soldier origin story, like a bit like something out of Marvel or X-Men. But it's not fixated on why the government or what the government, like who in the government knows they were doing it, how complicit America is, or it's not really about nations. It's more about just there's one horrible fucker, and there's some sympathetic people. Presumably, we don't know enough about anyone to really pick a side, other than you're meant to pick the side of the people who've been hiding out and keeping a low profile and building up skills, I guess. But yeah, so Eric is, we find out, he used to be in the CIA or something, and he was betrayed or something went down, and I think we find out he's rescued I guess for the purposes of this, it was his girlfriend or wife and their daughter. He rescues them. There's basically a super soldier thing going on where a bunch of children are having enhanced DNA or something. And Hannah's one of them, and then Eric takes her as his adopted daughter. And when her mum is killed by the evil baddie, he's on his own raising her in the middle of nowhere because the CIA are so dangerous, they'll find you anywhere. They'll just be like, oh, it's Eric fucking Bourne. Then they'll come find you and shoot you in the face. So he's decided the best plan of action, go to the middle of nowhere in the freezing cold, live like a hermit, and train your super soldier child up to be a super soldier, and kill reindeer, and but learn everything from a book. Like, understand the concept of music and instruments, and just basically read an encyclopedia to a child, and they'll be adjusted just fine. They don't need any socialising or normal upbringing. You just train them to kill, fight them sometimes to prove they're tough, and that'll be that's a good place to start. Does anyone understand Eric's motivation here? He's obviously driven partly by grief.
Yeah, but I suppose once you learn that, like, she's some kind of experimental super soldier, there's, you know, there's always like the thing of, well, you don't know how she's going to turn out, you know. So he can, you know, keep her secluded from people in case she becomes like, you know, a sociopathic, like psychotic, like child or something.
homeschooling's bad for you, I reckon, though. I think that's the message this film has taught us. Because if she'd have gone to social... I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, he might be thinking, if I put her in the schooling system in, I don't know, you're obviously not Berlin or wherever he's from, but you travel somewhere else, I mean, they might be suspicious if they're foreigners. But she might just get bullied one day and then stand up for herself and, like, break the bully's arm off and beat one of her teachers to death or something. Like, do you know what I mean? She could kick off, sure. But then he is training her to kick off. I don't know.
Yeah. And then there's also the part of he can only teach her what he knows, you know? And he is a...
Bear Grylls, like, survivalist nut, apparently.
Yeah. Well, he was, like, a CIA agent. So he's, you know, he's been able to teach her how to protect herself and stuff like that. But, you know, in the wilderness, when you've only brought, like, two books to teach her...
Yeah.
What that fucked me off no end, that he was going to teach her everything that she could possibly need to know from two books that couldn't possibly go out of date and get improved over time.
And then she learned, like, the number of population in a place, and you go, what use would that be?
The number of population in a place 10 years ago.
Also, I think it was a bit of a comedy point in the film, where she had, like, a backstory, if anyone met her, where he was like, okay, your details are, you're from this place, you went to that school, your best friends were called this, that, and the other, you had a little dog that you've made up that you were friends with, or you had a pet, or whatever. Like, she has this, but he doesn't teach her not to say it like an autistic person who's never spoken to someone before. And you go, sorry, you gave her a backstory that sounds legit, but you couldn't, like, socialise her to, like, talk properly or understand how interactions work. I think he fucked up a bit with his weird plan, is what I'm saying. Like, it's yeah. A strange move, like.
Yeah, but, like, unfortunately, it's not something you can really teach. It's only something you can learn by being around people, which she clearly never has. Like, she's essentially never seen another person before, and never seen a woman before.
It's very, very... it's an odd decision, isn't it? You've got... Like, I know, the agencies, they'll find you anywhere, but there must be ways to lie low. I mean, you know, people like Bin Laden, millionaires, can hide out and just be, like, not found for years. I mean... like, you must be able to live in society somewhere without being caught, or, like, and also that question of, okay, I'm going to train my daughter up to be what she should be, which is a super spy assassin thing. Okay, she's got this ability to do that. I mean, you could have just let her not know about it, and she just has this DNA that's particularly strong or whatever. She had really good reflexes, or, I mean, yeah, they say part of it was, like, she could, you know, designed to be a sociopath who could just kill. But
like she's not supposed to have, like, as much fear or as much pity or anything like that.
Which she doesn't really show in the film. She seems to be fairly sympathetic to the people she does meet. Mm. Maybe not that much, I don't know. They just seem to have bred autism into her, I don't know. But the trouble is, okay, you're raising her, you've got a revenge mission in mind. You're mental, though. You're a crazy man. Like, fair enough, you want to live in the middle of nowhere and you want to raise your daughter safely. But then you're also like, well, one day you'll be strong enough and you'll kill this woman I hate who killed your mum. And then no one will come after you. Like, what? You'll be on the run forever again. Like, I don't. Why not just live Lilo? Everyone had forgotten about them anyway. And then, like, the one time they alert the CIA to their presence in the world, they're like, oh, fuck, why now? And it's like, yeah, why now? You could have just. Like, the people who want you dead because you've got secrets, they've stopped caring. So, I don't know. And no one outed any secrets in this. It wasn't like, oh, we must tell the world what the CIA did with these children, you know? That wasn't really a part of it. I don't know. I just thought it was a very odd setup for what is essentially just, I trained a cool assassin girl, now get revenge for me. Let's go about this in the weirdest way possible. But yeah, essentially all we know is that she can hunt, but... I mean, she kills a deer, and then the film starts with her saying, I missed the heart, and then she goes and shoots the fuck out of a deer that has been, had one arrow in it. And then the big red titles come up, and we go, "All right, this bitch is fucked." Also, she fights her dad. We established that they have a "I will fight you to train you" vibe, which is very 80s action movie, isn't it? And yeah, it's pretty much just like, oh, if you ever, right, if you're ready to fight off our enemies and go on your first proper assassination spy mission for us, for me, whatever, avenge your mum, flick this switch, and the CIA will know where you are, and then you can let them kidnap you, kill a few of them just to show you're hard, let you be kidnapped even though they might kill you, and then you'll find out where she is, this evil woman. But yeah, this CIA agent who basically cosplays as Scully from the X-Files. Did anyone else think she looked exactly like Scully from the X-Files?
Suppose.
Well, having watched the X-Files recently, the resemblance isn't that close, but it's the same identity period.
Definitely Halloween costume type. It was the hair looked wrong on her. Like, I don't buy the hair and the fact that, you know, she's a smartly dressed agent. I guess, you know, it's an easy costume, but it just made me think of her. But you know, that's the premise, isn't it? Just turn this switch on, they'll find you, you can kill her, and then meet me in an abandoned fun fair, and we'll live out the rest of our lives. Waffles in the clown house. Love you. See you later, Dad. I'm just going to swim to Berlin now in my suit. Yeah. I mean, anyone want to open the discussion up to anything? I don't know. There's so many things to chew over.
Well, I think, I mean, it's quite clear, like, the film is kind of based on fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
And
did not pick that up. Oh, the wolf thing at the end, and well, the fairyland theme of the abandoned children thing made it a bit obvious. Go on. Oh, Hansel and Gretel, shit like that, is it, the evil witch? And I'm starting. No, go on. You explain, and maybe I'll nod along with you. Go on.
Well, it does like at points lean in quite heavily to the imagery of kind of like fairy tales, and then it does show that Hannah, like pretty much other than the encyclopedias she's been reading, the only other book she has is like the Grimm's fairy tales. So kind of like that's what her kind of view of the world is. And I think it gets a little bit mixed up because that's kind of how the film portrays a lot of it. She's kind of like being raised, she's an orphan, her mother's dead, and she's being raised alone by her father, which is pretty much how all fucking fairy tales start.
True.
Then you have kind of like Vigla, who is a kind of like wicked witch, evil stepmother kind of figure in the whole thing.
Couple and then, you know, creepy wolf type characters in the form of the people hired to kill her, I guess. Couple of knobhead skinheads replacing wolves.
And it's all about, you know, a young girl like going on a journey and kind of like discovering the world and herself
and fighting off predators. Now you mention it, there are a few things I'm like, oh yeah, they obviously had that in their minds. Abby, did you pick up? Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, but that kind of, because, you know, fairy tales are a little one-dimensional in terms of, you know, the characters and the story, then that kind of transports onto the characters and the story in this film.
Yeah, they're types rather than characters. Yeah.
Mm. Like, at times it felt like a kind of Odyssey journey, like one of the adventures from Greek stories where someone goes and meets various people and learns things or fights them or survives them or whatever. So it was sort of a little Odyssey journey she went on from her beginnings in the middle of nowhere. Various locations and lands, various strange people that she meets. But not really. Like, it wasn't overly committed to anything other than let's try and make a cool thriller. You know, I didn't feel. I think it was a little shallow.
Other than Hannah herself, I feel everything around it did feel a bit shallow. Like, Hannah is an interesting character. Like, her... Like it's very easy for her to just been, like, a really cold and calculating, like, assassin. But actually, no, she is still a 15-year-old girl who is being kind of, like, thrust into the world and doesn't quite know what's going on.
Yeah, also she's at an age where, having not met many other human beings other than, I guess, only her dad, really, other than in maybe in infancy, her burgeoning sexuality it will be come into it as well. I think she does meet and befriend some people her own age, and there's a question of whether or not, I guess, she's straight, isn't it? Like, she initially is playing wingman for a British girl she's met, and then acts quite violently when he attempts, quite tentatively he attempts to kiss her, and she basically reacts very violently and, like, pins him to the ground, and is still pretty reasonable with him. It's like, oh, that's fine. She's not, like, angry. She's reacted that way.
I think that scene is kind of like one of my microcosms of the film, because you have, like, the two of them being a bit awkward.
Yeah.
And I think she says, is this the part where we kiss? Like, it's a kind of, like, it's a story, like, it's a fairy tale.
Mm.
But then her being her, she ends up attacking him because that's what she knows.
Yeah, like, it's a fight off light type instincts kick in for some reason.
Mm.
And then later on, this girl that she's befriended, she gets an intimate, she intimately chatting with her and trying to be reassert, like, oh, we are friends, right, and stuff. She gives her a little affectionate peck on the lips, as if, like, maybe a burgeoning, like, sexuality thing, maybe, like, fancying her, but it's like, it's sort of like, it's not full blown she's a lesbian, but it is suggestive that she's discovering intimacy for the first time with other people rather than just her dad. Like, so she definitely falls in the camp of, well, I mean, lesbian in training, at least. So the fact that she's 15 and, you know, is in puberty to some extent is obviously playing into the story to some degree. I think it is interesting that the first proper people, the first people she discovers outside of the people trying to kill her. I mean, we'll go back and talk about when she's in the captive in the CIA in a minute, but, like, the first people she meets that are normal and that she has help from is a normal-ish British family of slightly pretentious wankers having a holiday. And that ginger bloke who crowbars his way into every British film ever is the dad. But yeah, she sees a typical family having a holiday and she joins them for a part of her story. And so it's the first time, really, where she's seen what normal families look like, and it turns out they're slightly wankery British families having a nice holiday. So, you know, she obviously sees them and is like this feral little animal that hides away in their camper van or whatever it is, or, like, just bus or whatever they're travelling in. And she becomes a little part of the group, almost semi-adopted, as, like, a little person who's got really liberal parents who've just let her travel on her own sometimes. So I think it was interesting to see, oh, how does she react to normal people? And I think they did develop Hannah as she does learn stuff and she does get rounded off a bit more. Like, as you say, Anthony, she is the character they develop over everyone else. Everyone else is just there to facilitate her growth, I suppose.
Mm.
I don't know. I thought that was something it did okay. Does anyone want to talk about the facility? Because she takes down a few, CIA agents. Eventually, turn up having realized. Well, I don't know, Scully basically goes, oh shit, Eric is on the radar again, why is he blipping on the special maps or whatever? I'm evil, so I'm going to secretly I don't want Interpol or someone to pick him up, let's secretly get him, because I've done naughty stuff, I want to keep under wraps. Let's secretly go get him, and I'll also go look into the girl. And so she's, you know, doing something a bit, you know, what would you call it? Like, well, you know, why is she, I guess I'll ask you guys, why is she, like, being all secretive about this? The CIA is already secretive, so surely she should just follow procedure and have him, you know, eliminated, if that's what the blip means on the map.
Well, it's revealed that she's kind of like the head of some sort of operation that was happening in Poland, I think they say, where they're doing like some, you know, super serum children, which then gets kind of like shut down, and it's implied that all the other kind of children are killed.
Just mopping up, isn't it? Disposed.
Yeah, and yeah. It was all classified, and it's all kind of like secret. And she's just trying to make sure none of that gets out.
It's sort of, it's to be presumed that within the CIA generally aren't all. It's not tarring the CIA as everyone knew about this program, and it has to be kept secret from the world. This is her little thing that she was connected to. It's like a subdivision, not a whole big conspiracy. That's, I think, the idea they're going for, right?
There's also kind of heavy implication that she is Hannah's mother.
Even though the mum is the birth mum, they do infer that it implies it, but it's not true, right? Because we see the photographs and the gunshots while the photographs of her mum are being seen, and she obviously gave birth to her. But then again, could she have been with Eric and adopted her? It's just the fact that she's blonde or whatever, and she's supposed to resemble the mother more than Eric Banner.
It's hard to say. There's just this moment in the film where it's there's acting choices by Kate Blanchett, like
she has a maternal respect. Like she sees herself as the mother of these children who were super soldiers or something, isn't it?
Well, and she's like, DNA got messed with, so she could be in a meddled DNA way.
Oh, right, so maybe they've spliced her amazing Kate Blanchett DNA used to make them extra strong. I don't know.
But it's kind of more than that. I think the film kind of implies that she is her mother. Like she has a conversation with the mother's mother, like Hannah's grandmother.
Yeah.
And like she says, like, you know, have you ever had any children? And there's like a really awkward moment where she's like, yeah, I've made certain choices. But she doesn't answer the question, you know.
I've euthanized my children.
And there's a flashback scene where you see Wiegler like shooting at the car with all three of them in. And then, like, the mother's last words were, you'll never have her.
Implying we're rescuing her from
implying,
you.
Implying, like, she's a bit more special for some reason than the other ones. And, like, at the end, I think her last line, Kate Blanchett's last line is something like, you, like, ungrateful, get back here. Oh, what did she say?
Don't you walk away from me, young lady.
Young lady, yeah, like that, like, that's a very, I think,
very
that's
mumsy
a very
thing
deliberate
to say.
Line of a very like mum thing to say.
I think it would have been better then to clarify for certain. I mean, have ambiguity if you want, but I think they were going for that as well. I just think it muddied the water slightly by talking about the actual mother and having Eric not be the father. Not, well, actually, your mum wasn't your. They don't. It's not like you. Neither of us were your parents. We just raised you. It was only him that was, you know, the imposter. So I thought that was. Like, it's not like the two women got together and had the child. It's like, I think it muddied things by not clarifying more deliberately. Just hinting at it doesn't. It just, like I say, it muddies it rather than makes it definite.
And there's a kind of a certain sense that they're like that's kind of thrown in to kind of reinforce her as like an evil stepmother kind of figure, like having that kind of mother imagery over her.
Because I think the other aspect of the story is it's a bit like a Wolverine story where the army, or in this case the CIA, want their super soldier to use. Well, if you're this elite assassin trained by a spy, you're more incredible than we thought you'd be. You've grown up into a mature super soldier. Maybe we want to then. Do we want to use you and reprogram you or something? So it would have made sense to go that route where you're a weapon, we want to use that weapon. You can't be in private hands, so to speak. I don't know. I don't think it quite knew. Yeah, is why it was a problem for me. Maybe it was just combining too many ideas. I'm not sure. But at the facility, anyway, I guess the idea is she's caught by the CIA because she's told them where she was and sat there patiently while Eric buggers off with his own submission. She's captured and put in an underground facility. It's like she's basically knocked out somewhere, and she wakes up a captive in like this very minimal bare room with cameras pointing at her underground, presumably. And she has to suss out where her target is, and she, I mean, you know, they're trying to figure out how dangerous she is. Abby, what did you make of this? Sending in the double and being really cautiously interviewing this girl like she's the most dangerous thing ever.
Well, I suppose with her being an unknown quantity, I understand a certain level of caution. I also loved Cate Blanchett's reaction when the fake did get killed and she was like, oh!
It's that woman at a Downton Abbey in a ginger wig. She'd been killed. But did you? So you liked the fact that they were like, she's dangerous. Keep her in a special room. Let's see what we got here.
A couple people by then, aren't she?
Yeah, but they've got her. They bagged her and tagged her. Now they could have just cut her head off while she was asleep. You know. They obviously wanted to interview her a bit to find out, I guess, where Eric is, perhaps, or something. Find out more. And they didn't use enough caution because, you know, they sent in this woman as a double because it's like, we're not giving her me, I'm too important. And she doesn't know what I look like. Unless, you know, Eric had a picture. Might have helped. So this double goes and gets earpiece information that Cate Blanchett's character could confirm stuff so that Hannah thinks it is her for real. And then the weird reaction is she's sad and amused and is sort of laughingly embraces and hugs her again, that motherly thing coming in there. So she hugs her very closely and is laughing and upset. And then, like, snaps her neck, and then everyone kind of tries to run in and restrain or kill Hannah, right? And somehow this little buxom 15-year... Not buxom, that's not a good word. This little... this...
It's really not.
No. This little blonde feral girl manages to, like, you know, hop, jump and skip her way around them and get away via being fast and quick like a little hare and ducking into big openings in the floor in this facility, and just awkward, like getting around it looks like a facility level from a video game where it's just underground bullshit.
And when she comes across those two science guys in the decontamination suits, and all she does is give him a little nod of the head, and he just climbs into the locker like he's back in high school.
Yeah, I'm a science nerd. I've been bullied into a locker before. It was good, actually. It was a good bit. Yeah, she manages to fight her way out via, you know, various cool assassin-y shit and hiding in spaces. It's kind of crap that she gets away because it's like you just wouldn't be able to get away. And then she wriggles her way into a like some sort of escape area duct, like I guess it's a tunnel to the surface, and she discovers she's in the desert or somewhere. With nowhere, they should be able to find her then, because, like, you know, one helicopter or just cameras or something should show her. Oh, there she is.
Well, they did drive to the right place. It's just she managed to hide under the car.
Well, like a bunch of fucking tools. They have a convoy of army trucks out looking for her. They drive over an open manhole where she could have escaped from, without checking it, and she, I mean, within a millisecond, she jumps under the, like, it's editing that puts her under the car. Like, it's really badly done, actually, where you suspect she's going to jump under the vehicle, but because it's done in, like, the blink of an eye, it's like, no. No, she didn't get out of the hole and hook onto the underneath. Oh, she did. And yeah, they unknowingly drop her off, and she can sort of escape to civilization via this British family. Where there's just a little girl on the rocks, and she's doing a British accent, ain't she? Hello, hello, love. How's it going? Oh, I'm a talkative sort. I am. Oh, are you a foreigner? Oh, you are you? Oh well, bye. You know, she has that kind of interaction with some strange British girl, and her family are behind her. And then she's like offered a lift somewhere, and then she goes, nah, I'll walk, and ends up bothering some other people, which is all odd, because she ends up back in their lives later. But yeah, she manages to wander off into the desert, and I think she gets some clothes off of, like, where's the first location? Because it's like vaguely, I actually don't know what nationality. She's with a guy who has a hotel. I don't know what happens.
Before that, she did a classic steel laundry.
Off the old line.
Costume.
Yeah. Puts on a big, like, dirty looking pair of, like, a nightie, like a bloke, almost a bloke's nightie.
Oh, yeah, and that's the first time she hears music as well.
Oh.
Like music is kind of, it's highlighted throughout the film.
As you'd hope so, with the Chemical Brothers hard at work, you know.
No, I mean in the story and the kind of like in the themes of the film. So they have a bit where like the father tries to describe music to her, but she's like, you know, how does it feel?
She has
all he can really do is tell her what it is, kind of thing.
He doesn't. And then
all the people for her to have ended up with someone who can't whistle.
And there's moments of kind of like music, not just like the soundtrack, but like diegetic music or people singing throughout the film. And not just that, but like soundscapes as well as music, and kind of like meshing them together as a part of her journey discovery.
Yeah, she has to have her Shawshank Redemption moment where she hears proper music and is like, oh, it's been so long, / never. Yeah, I mean, I think that was a good move. This idea of the feral assassin, is it that that is the way to go with it, where she's had all this training and is prepared for espionage, but isn't prepared for love and art and sex and people, is she? She's like, that's been missing. So that's part of her discovery.
The sensory overload bit in that hotel room was good.
Yeah, there's some nice touches throughout.
Like the lights flickering, the ceiling fan was going, the TV was on. There was some other noise as well. Oh. And she doesn't know what switch does what, so she's just trying them all and it's getting worse.
There's an element of like the film The Bride where it's like, oh, you didn't tell me about lions. I thought it was a tiny... Oh, no, you didn't tell me about cats. I thought it was a tiny lion. It's like, what have you not told this woman? Like, this girl. She should know more. Like, I guess it didn't say in the encyclopedia of Dusty Book to how TVs work and stuff. I guess she's on the run at this point because she thinks she succeeded at killing the person she was supposed to and escaping, or is she partly laugh crying because she knows it isn't her? She's not aware that
no, she thinks it's her.
Yeah, because she sends like a postcard to her father saying the witch is dead.
Long live the witch. Yeah. So her mission now is to meet up with her dad. Pretty straightforward, apart from she doesn't have money, train tickets. I mean, in fairness, she's been kidnapped, captured, so they might not have given her anything anyway, even if she had planned to have some stuff. But yeah, her plan is to go meet her dad, where they plan to meet up. And the trouble is, though, old Scully has decided she's going to hire some eccentric assassins of her own. And
the premier best 1980s yuppie villain himself. I was glad to see him.
Always good at being a dickhead. What's the actor's name?
I'm just going to check now.
Tom Hollander.
And, even carried over the costume. That athletic wear.
Oh, that blonde, the blonde hair as well. He's such a good douchebag at everything as well, isn't he? I really like him in is he in The Thick of It or is it just In the Loop? But he's great as, like, King Douche in that. And he's just so a smarmy prick. And in this case, I think he's one of the better, like, all these sort of ridiculous action thrillers have really... The fun to have is to have weird villains and, sub-characters. I think he's pretty good. I didn't love that he has two skinhead henchmen, like two, like, skinhead British fucking, you know, kick your head in guys. That seemed a bit, that's underwhelming. I would have rather he had, like, I don't know, bondage nuns or... Some, I don't know, but that's a bit hack as well. But I want two skinhead boys. It's not that. I mean, they're intimidating because of their general vibe of skinheads. But he's this athletic wear, leisure suit wearing. He owns a strip club. He's a strip club owning assassin man with two skinhead henchmen. And the best scene of this is when Cate Blanchett. Goes to his bar and hires him. He is in the background behind her is a stripper practicing some kind of chintzy wintertime striptease. There's like Chemical Brothers have this lovely chintzy song playing that they've designed, and there's a dwarf with a beard for some reason having a break. He's just a bloke in a bar, and then this stripper is doing some routine we don't really get to see very much of. And it's got this ding 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 music that's like lovely. And then he breaks off having conversation with this woman hiring him to just shout at her and say, you gotta fucking the details, it's all about the details or whatever he says. The devil's in the details, I think that is actually what the song's called as well. And it's just this chintzy Christmas performance or winter theme, and I like this. Like, what is going on? You're making like a children's strip club's like cabaret show that you're now gonna leave half done because you have to go murder a child. Like, what is this world this man lives in?
I think it's in like another kind of like fairy tale reference, like a pantomime going on.
Yeah, I guess that it's on theme, but it's so... Yeah, you're the off-the-books assassin the CIA get is... Guy with... Like, who are these skinhead boys? Why do they hang around with him? Oh, and that's the other thing. The stripper, they sort of talk about her briefly, and she's like, she doesn't seem like your type. And he's like, she has male and female genitalia. And you go, right, so we don't like him because he has sex with a hermaphrodite? What? Okay, I guess. That's okay. The bad person, I guess. That's fine. Anyway, I thought it was charming that there's so much texture to this part. I was like, what the fuck? And I kind of love this guy. And he whistles the song from that rehearsal as well later on, when I think he's covered in blood having tortured or beaten someone. But yeah, he's your German... Anyway, he's got like a German act. He's vaguely German-sounding villain. Douche. But you liked him, Abby, yes? He was one of your enjoyable parts.
It was a reinvention of the classic 80s villain that fell into obscurity through the 90s when yuppies kind of ceased to exist.
Yeah, I don't even know what he is. He's not even... He's just weird, and I like that. I did like that. This film needs to dial it up. I need kind of wanted levels of weird. I mean, I want fucking strange people doing strange things. And it does attempt that. Like, I think Hannah gets to meet some friend of her dad who's some paedophile-looking carny who lives in the rusty fairyland-themed children's adventure, rusty, abandoned theme park. I mean, what? He's just some creep who juggles or... is supposed to be charming, but he looks just like a foul trailer park man. And it's like, well, okay, we need him to be more pleasant and more eccentric because he's just a dirty man trying to be nice. And it's weird to be out. That's what I wanted. I wanted more weirdness.
It was such a surprise when he was just a nice guy.
Yeah. And of course, because he's a nice guy, he gets murdered and tortured by the villains to get them over as awful. So we don't forget that they're terrible. I don't know, I would have wanted more pit stops. Because like, Eric isn't that weird himself. He's got a weird plan to raise his daughter into a super soldier assassin. But, you know, he talks a bit weird because of his feral German accent. But, you know, we don't know that much about Eric. He's also off swimming. What's he just has a plan to swim out to somewhere, not to get, I guess, to avoid getting picked up by immigration or whatever.
And he's immediately picked up on the docks, so he kills two people.
Yeah, he's pretty shit. And there's so there's the two hunts, isn't there? There's the after Hannah and after Eric, and Hannah is with a British family off and on. I think also the Middle Eastern looking guy at the hotel. It's implied he's beaten up a bit to tell the weird henchman and the skinhead guy. What is the name of this German strip club owner guy?
Isaacs.
Isaacs, his name is.
Yeah.
And do the henchmen have names, or are they just one and two bald boys? I guess it doesn't matter. They're sort of interchangeable anyway. But yeah, Isaacs is sent to go hunt them down. He does a fairly reasonable job. He finds Hannah pretty quickly. There's a bit of boring, finding... It's the usual thriller shit. We don't need to get into it. But essentially, because she's with this family, she befriends, which is this pretentious mum and the... I don't know, it's like vaguely... like, liberal, middle-class family... with a young boy and a older girl who's like a teenager about Hannah's age, and she's, you know, talkative and precocious. Not precocious. She's talkative and quite, you know... She's the opposite of Hannah because she's so confident and aware of the world, isn't she? Do we like the dynamic she has with Hannah?
I guess I hadn't really thought about it in those terms. But it is very... Oh, that's another bit that annoyed me. When Hannah said, don't follow me. She follows her, but in the weirdest way, where she just ends up standing in the middle of a corridor that you wouldn't naturally get to just by following her.
Yeah, that was... There are things like that where it's like, well, the supernatural editing of this film annoyed me, where people are... It's not explicable. Like, you already got a super soldier child. That's pretty dumb. But to have these editing moments that suggests... the impossible has happened, but in a subtle way, not impossible in a magic way, but just in a, oh, that's dumb. Like you say, they're like at roadside when they get caught up by Isaacs and his knobheads, this family in the van, and she's literally like, you know, we've made friends, I've slept in a tent and beaten up a boy with you, and, you know, all this shit, we've become pals on this inexplicable journey. And then when she's like, I gotta go and run away and take the people who are trying to kill me elsewhere, it is done that she follows, but it's like, you followed by what? Jumping down onto cabins and, like, she couldn't have been there, and she was there. There was no need for her to have seen. I guess they wanted to show that her new friend could see, oh, she's a brutal murderer. Oh, shit, this girl's more dangerous than I expected. But I don't know that it needed to do it. But I don't know. The family are there in a way just to tip off the bad guys, isn't it? Like, they get kept in the... Like, Hannah kills one of the skinheads and gets away. And then they end up, like, putting each of the family members in various cabins with loads of, I guess, stuff that would be being shipped in them. And interview them all. She, like, what's the Kate Blanchett? Interviews them all in slightly different ways because they're all... I guess their own people who answer in different ways to the questions. But basically the young kid tips off in the most helpful way where the kid thought Hannah was going, right? And this family, they don't come up again. We don't know if they definitely get murdered or they are saved because they gave information. But there's an implication the family wouldn't dauber in after being kidnapped, you know, after being forced into... I don't know, what do you guys make of this? Did the British family get murdered or did they...
I could only assume so because everyone else who they've dealt with has been murdered along the way.
Yeah, and they can't exactly leave them out and about to talk, can they?
Yeah, well, what would you do? Cut back and show, like, blood circling a drain or something? I don't know. I guess
it, at the same time, it's a lot messier to clean up, like, in a sort of they're-going-to-be-missed way, you know?
Well, that's it. You don't want to leave... I think that's the reason I'm like, well, they didn't have to kill him because they only told some... Like, they met a strange girl. They don't know... They don't know anything about her, necessarily. And they certainly aren't... They didn't give any information to... In interview, they didn't give, oh, yeah, she's a super soldier, we know all about it. So I think there's a chance they could have just been let go as well. I mean, it seems like, oh, the easiest thing to do would be to kill them all. But then you're just creating problems that you have to tidy up then, so... I don't know if the film thought about it that much.
I think that's why they kind of leave it vague and leave it in the air, because...
They couldn't answer their own question.
Like, if it did make it clear that they had to kill the family, like, the only people that Hannah has kind of interacted with, like, I think the audience might feel a bit bad.
Oh, poor us. But then, again, they kill the grandmother of Hannah, just, like, they find out, basically, that, oh, Eric hasn't come to the grandmother's house, but she still kills her, like, and leaves her corpse in the flat, presumably. Although, no, the corpse is gone. There's just a bloodstain from the bullet is there on the picture of her daughter. Because symbolism... I mean, it's implied that the grandmother's body hasn't been moved, but yet we don't see it when Eric and Hannah are there later. So they are willing to just murder people and not explain it away as something that could have happened.
I suppose they didn't want to give him any more story either, because their part in it was done.
I thought they should have, because it was, I think Hannah being not exposed to a family, being adopted into this new family might have been good, or starting a relationship with a girl in the family might have been it would have been better for her to have a story arc that goes back to the family again, or that Hannah rescues the family, or something. I would have, because she's this assassin, why waste her running away endlessly if she can come in and be useful and stop? I mean, if she stops all these CIA guys, a couple of skinheads and some dickhead in a sports suit, you know, she should be able to save the family. And I think I would have preferred a story where she bonds with them and they accept her even though she's a fucking psycho who goes killing people. But she kills, you know, to save them, so that's better, right? And also, I thought one thing that didn't pay off is the little boy who does dob her in by accident, I suppose, takes a photo of her when they first meet. And I thought for sure, okay, that's going to be the clue that leads them to Hannah. Oh, we know Hannah was hiding with you because you've developed this photograph. And no, it doesn't come up. Not relevant.
Yeah.
It was also... they had misinformation where they told her that her dad had killed her mum to try and get information out of them. But they didn't talk, so it was kind of irrelevant.
I think it was just to show that the British family were a bit more savvy and weren't going to... This is suspicious... I mean, they've been bullied and they haven't been questioned by the police at the roadside. You might be expected to answer some questions. And I think they answer fairly honestly, but they kind of... They're not going to be, you know, able to... They don't look like they're saying anything to throw Hannah under the bus here. The implication is that they're sort of... a bit dubious of why they're... I mean, they're being kept in cabins. They know that this isn't normal, you know?
It looked like the dad was having his first go at therapy that he really needed when he was talking.
Well, yeah. it helped that he was in a cabin that was full of lawnmowers, just sitting amongst lawnmowers. The rest seemed to have just cabins that had just boxes and shit behind them. I don't know. I felt like the family were underused, and we don't come back to them again. It's more back to what's Eric up to. It turns out Eric is catching buses, doing swims, killing people, and having quite cool shots. Like, there's a cool, like, yellow-seated bus station we get, like, a long shot through that was quite good. And then I started to notice the very deliberate graffiti of eyeballs and things that said stuff about being watched, and I was like, oh, fuck off. Like, yeah. Don't hammer it over the head. But it, like, there was some nice shots of Eric turning up and getting clearly tailed as soon as he's appeared in Civilization.
Oh, yeah, that long shot of him when he gets off the bus.
Yeah, it was rather good.
It was very, very evocative of kind of like Hitchcock long shots. Because it's really good because it's like slowly kind of reveals all the people who are like following him.
Yeah. And he's aware of them and he sort of leads them. He leads them. He doesn't so much lead them as he goes down into a subway, to a nice orange tiled subway that has no people in for a convenient violent fight to take part. Much easier to film there than somewhere with extras and stuff. Yeah, just a blank area that looks cool and orange. But then he proceeds to have like a brutal action movie fight with them, and you know, throws knives and snaps limbs and all that shit you'd expect. Throws people into guns and so forth. Do you guys enjoy this? This is one of the selling points of this movie, is see the people do the thing, you know, fight, smash, ow.
Yes, fight, smash, ow.
Yeah, it's really weird. In the whole film, there's moments of really quick pace and editing, and there's like moments of like really slow, more drawn out bits, and it's a nice juxtaposition in parts. Sometimes it makes it feel a little slow, like one of the quickest bits I remember is when at the beginning, when all the CIA agents are coming in, when they're trying to like storm the cabin to get Eric, but then find Hannah, and there's a very, very quick editing where like within like 30 seconds she's in the prison cell and stuff like that, and then there's like more, you know, slower bit, like this scene where it's all kind of like one shot, and even though there's action in it, it's all very drawn out.
Well staged, but you know, like I don't know, I feel like they shortchanged this, because I think put more action in for a start. Then if you're going to do these cool violent scenes, hiding it with like and then everyone was defeated editing is a bit cheap. I mean, she did some cool martial arts shit, did Hannah. Like, I felt like they did well to get the actress to perform some quite complicated choreography at times. But, and I also, I guess, Eric Bana had to do it. But I think the film didn't rely on that enough as a thing.
Yeah, I was surprised, because I was surprised by how little kind of, like, that kind of action there was in the film. Because in my memory, there's a lot more of it.
Yeah, it needed like John Wick levels of, oh, cool, another fucking awesome visual sequence, you know. Because it's all about the espionage. And if she's just, it's wasting the fact that she's supposedly some sort of super soldier girl, elite assassin. Like, if that, don't fanny around doing like long drawn out cat and mouse bullshit. And like, yes, have tension. Yes, do that. But we can just have action. If it's an action movie, do throw that in enough. Like, you can't just, you know, she has the odd fight with her dad, like, one in training and then two later on when they confront each other in the grandmother's house. And then, obviously, they fight the odd henchman. But, you know, more is also good. Especially because it's a silly premise, so don't fanny around pretending it's serious, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose it's, you know, the action is supposed to be kind of secondary to the actual journey of Hannah and her kind of like her discovery of herself kind of thing.
But I feel like it's almost, the action is tertiary to Hannah because they want to put in like fairy tale references and have, you know, sexual, I mean, they got the sexual awakenings and the sort of life stuff from Hannah, but then we have a lot of other bumps, espionage, then it's action, really, isn't it? It's like, there's meant to be some big mystery, and really, we don't get the full picture anyway, so what's it matter? Yeah, what happens?
Yeah, Especially as the film kind of starts off with the promise of more action. Because it's kind of like it's setting up the rest of the film. It's like she's training.
She murdered a deer. Like,
yeah.
You know, expecting
and
a
then,
lot.
And you know, then she takes out the people who are trying to attack her. Yeah. And then there's only like two or three other kind of like fight scenes.
Yeah, confrontations in the film.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good. I mean, I like the one in the container
area.
Park. Yeah.
Docks or whatever it was. Roadside lorry containment area place.
Yeah, it was just a really good combination of like cinematography and choreography and lighting.
Yeah, she's like running around on top of them. Yeah, we've got the sort of bad guys wandering around looking for her, looking like, oh, we'll fucking find her. And then she's like darting around the top of them and whatnot. You know, it's effective enough. Yeah. What happens? Eric Bana dispatches the boring goons who are after him, and is he has to? Where does he go? He has to figure out where they're meeting again. Does he? Because he realizes that someone realizes it's compromised. They meet somewhere else. He definitely meets Hannah, but I can't remember quite what the chain of events was. Does anyone remember?
It's pretty much Hannah goes to the wolf fairy tale house, meets the guy, and she's supposed to meet her dad there, but
instead she eats a raw egg like a fucking like a fox. It's like the guy's like, oh, I'll make you pancakes and stuff, and she's like, I'll just have an egg. Oh, normal.
And then so the goons turn up, she escapes from there.
Oh, this is that bit where she hides under the bed and then stares at Kate Blanchett's foot being rubbed, and it's like, oh, she's so close, but also it's really tense and scary. And then she does look under the bed, and she's done the Spider-Man thing, and she's hiding up under the bed. It's like, oh, fuck off, this is too boring me now. But she does escape from the fairy, rusty fairy tale fairground shit. I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. And then so she goes to her grandmother's house, and that's where Eric meets her because
he does turn up there and he sees,
he realizes they're like, there,
the henchman, and I guess the only other lead he has where she would go is to her grandmother's,
who's dead. Is it? Because the trouble is they turned up too soon at the grandmother's and had to kill her, or did kill her.
They did a few good near misses in this, where like the. A yuppie hitman, he goes to the campsite, but she's not there, and just after he leaves, she comes back. And when Viegler is in her office, or her bedroom, whatever it is, and Eric comes bursting in, she manages to get out the window.
Oh yeah, that's kind of a balls up from him there, because if he's this pretty good at spy, I mean, he sees this woman as a proper threat, so he starts shooting through the door. And you go, well, if she doesn't know you're coming, you could probably just knock the door and shoot her, or break in more effectively than endlessly trying to kick down the door, giving her a chance to jump away and escape. Like, I feel like the reason he's dead is because he was stupid at this point and couldn't kill the woman straight away. You know, like, that was dumb. But you're right, Abby, it does have these, oh, there, but for the grace of God, go I... moments that they just avoid catastrophe, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, before we get too far, we must absolutely talk about the internet DNA montage.
Oh! Classic! Again, 90s throwback. Like, silly business with computers, where she's feral, but she's doesn't know what a TV remote is or an electric fan in a hotel room, is freaking out, but I'll suss this internet cafe out to just sign in and then upload a montage of... Like, what was it, Abby? Like, letters and codes and DNA?
She wasn't Googling, because this predates... No, it doesn't predate...
Ask Jeeves, what is DNA? Who am I?
She asked about DNA, then she managed to get a bunch of articles that were super relevant. Then she looked up her dad, and she managed to get a bunch of articles that were super relevant.
He wouldn't even had a Facebook page, would he? He'd be like a feral man. He wouldn't have had any info on him, surely. He was in the news because he was the supposed murderer of his wife or whatever. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like there were news articles of someone who the government shouldn't even really have been acknowledged existed.
But they want a manhunt on him, don't they? They want to find him and kill him because he's got secrets. But yeah, she had like a cool like 90s action movie montage of computer shit so she could be caught up on, oh, they've injected me with stuff, or my DNA's been tampered with, or some shit. I was a lab baby super person. I don't feel emotions like, you know, wanting to kiss a girl or be friends with a little boy or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, then meeting up at the grandmother's house, who is now dead. She's like, you're not my real dad. And he's like, well, technically, but I raised you and I have a weird accent. And, you know, I lived a life. I lived in the wild like fucking Mowgli with you. What better father could I have been? I homeschooled you. I taught you what everything was from one book. We ran with wolves and killed reindeer together and made clothes out of animal hides. I couldn't have been a better father. And then I told you one day, you just flick the switch and avenge the woman who killed your mum. Classic parenting 101. Why would you be upset about this? Oh, you're not my real dad. Oh, who is he? We don't know. Oh, it's some sperm donation shit or something. Or maybe... Oh, they talk about... There was a hint at hermaphrodites. Maybe Cate Blanchett is also a man. She's the father. That was the thing. The mum is the mum. And she is like, oh, have you had children? Well, I'm a dad. You know?
I mean, I can't dispute you.
I think that's quite a neat way to solve the ambiguity of it. Cartman's dad solution, like in South Park, where who is Cartman's dad? Turns out Cartman's dad is his mum. What? And then it's the same here. Hannah's mum is her dad. Or dad is her mum, or whatever. Anyway, they have a little scrap. A really serious, I'm going to break everything in Grandma's house. Well, not everything. They have a little, you know, angry tirade and fight in the house. More aggressive than you'd want, but it is an action movie. And what's the conclusion? Like, they sort of...
She runs out of the house into the park? Garden. And then they notice that he follows her, and then they notice that the bad guys are there, so they're both like, run, run!
Remaining skinhead and leisure suit Larry are there, yeah. So Eric Bana just has a fight in a rusty old park then, is it? A fairly derelict park.
Yeah, I think it's implied that he's purposely running towards them at first so he can get their attention so they stay away from Hannah, kind of thing.
Sort of sacrifices himself and fights the goons to death, but is then shot. Is he shot by Cate Blanchett then at the end and left to die on the roundabout in a cool way, I guess?
Yeah, that was really weird that they got left to die on a roundabout.
Well, we had a roundabout death and then also slide death later on, so it's, you know, fun childhood imagery.
Oh, and when he was beating him up on the swings, he was wrestling.
He did wrestling.
Pure wrestling.
He set him up for like one of John Cena's moves or something.
I did just notice that also all the kind of child centric places, like the theme park and the playground they're in, they're all derelict and run down.
Sort of symbolising the sort of lack of childhood, I guess, for Hannah. Mm. Yeah, there's definitely a theme of innocence lost and abandoned, isn't it? Because that's what she's been trained not to have, a childhood. And she's been this serious, gritty world of espionage. And then, you know, she's missed out on camping trips with the girls and swimming with the boys. And, you know, so she gets a little taste of it when she meets people. But fundamentally, all of these places she ends up fighting or, you know, going to are these pathetic symbols of bygone childhoods, isn't it? So, you can't say they're not trying this film. There's definitely a solid sense of we've got a concept in mind here. I don't want to be too mean. Yeah, Eric's left deaded on a roundabout, and then we have the big showdown, I guess, in the back to the mushroom, rusty mushroom, derelict theme park graveyard thing, where they, you know, basically Blanchette and Hannah, I'm going to say, because that's what her character's name is. I can't remember names. I can never be consistent. It's never just actors' names or character names. I have to combine them two because my memory is absolutely pish.
Well, she finds the clown creep guy hanging upside down. Yeah. And then she sees Vigla's eye at the window, which was so funny.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of... I mean, they have... I find it a little contrite that the showdown was on, like, a rusty railway tracks into a wolf's mouth, and then, Blanchette is there in the wolf's mouth, and it's the very, like... overly obvious symbolism as they both enter the wolf mouth tunnel, and I think they have like a sort of I'm leaving now, no you're not, woman or girl, and then so, you know, she shoots her. Hannah is shot with a bullet, but Hannah also has a palmed arrow that she uses for hunting that she has, I guess, on a bit of elastic on her wrist or some shit, but she somehow without a bow shoots off the arrow into her nemesis. And so she's shot. They're both, both effectively shot. One of them with an arrow, so it's a bit more pathetic. And then she sort of, there's sort of in the inner workings of the tunnel of the wolf train track thing. They're sort of chasing. We have another chase in there. Both of them wounded, with culminating in basically Hannah watching her fall down a slide. Pathetically, and then popping down and finishing her off by taking her gun and double tapping her like she did the reindeer at the start.
I was so disappointed that she came to her end by falling down a chute.
Yeah, and it's like she didn't. It's not like after they'd fired their initial, like they dueled each other with arrow and like bullet, David and Goliath style. You know, Hannah didn't have a mortal wound. We don't think. She was able to pretty much just jog behind Blanchette. But it wasn't that exciting. They could have bished and bashed their way through some rusty shit. But, you know, it was just, oh, fuck, I'm bollocksed. Like, what'd she say? Like, missed your heart or something?
Like she did with the deer at the beginning.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to get at with that. Some fucking ropey symbolism about hearts and love and... some pish, I suppose. Does anyone, Dante, did you get what they were going for with this I just missed your heart to vague symbolism?
Not really. Although I did think that just before Vigla fell, there was a moment where it was... Hannah was, like, quickly monkey-climbing up the...
framework.
Up the scaffolding. And Vigla was kind of like running up, and when they both get to the top, there's this kind of moment where, like, even though Hannah's been shot, she's still, you know, she's still youthful, and she's still got the energy, and Cate Blanchett is there, and she's like sweating and panting.
Yeah.
And I felt like there was a moment of youth versus like adulthood there.
Also, I guess the mother thing comes back. I'm proud of you vaguely, but also my super soldier shit has worked. Like, whatever I was doing back in the day, you've proven yourself to be a more fit human. We've created an elite person here. So see, there's an element of seeing what you wanted to create has happened or something, I guess.
And the fact that she slips rather than, say, is pushed by Hannah is, I don't know, it's less... youth triumphing over adulthood and more adulthood failing in the face of youth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not altogether useless, but it is...
slightly anticlimactic.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know what I wanted. I don't know that I needed...
Yeah, in a typical action film, it would have been, you know, Hannah outsmarts her somehow right at the last moment and then ends up pushing her down the slide to her doom kind of thing.
Into a wolf pack that Hannah was raised with, like Arya Stark, and they all come running and killing her. No, I don't know. I don't need anything specific from this film. I just needed it to be better than it was. It wasn't quite there, because it has such a dopey story. For me, there's so many moments of like, why would you do it this way? Why would this happen? Like, there were so many things I was like, oh, well, that's dumb. Like, I couldn't fully enjoy it, and I don't think it was like, it wasn't like a cool action-packed movie like John Wick or something, or Crank, that properly goes, fuck it, we're gonna have fun with this, let's have a teenager kicking everyone's ass. I think he was trying to be too mature and espionage-y and like a you know, it's good to do this story of a teenage girl deprived of normalcy but still this elite soldier or assassin, and then the normal human side being something she needs to balance her out a bit. But then you go, well, shouldn't Eric be the bad guy here? Or like, but he's not really, but he did lie to her slightly, but I don't know, she should be questioning, like, who raised me, why? Like, she doesn't really have any realisation about how she's been manipulated by literally everyone except the people she met on the road. So there were all kinds of mature options to go with. All there was the more, you know, childish 80s-style action movie, let's just do badass scenes where people fight in a cool way. It could have gone either direction, and I felt like straddling both, we want to try and say something about innocence and childhood and coming of age, but we also, you know, it couldn't have both successfully, so I wish it had picked one. You know, that's all I think. Well, again, tonal issues being the problem for me.
Well, this wouldn't be spoiler film without tonal issues, would it?
No. What do you think, Abby? Is this a good film, bad film? I think it's okay, but not quite for me. You said earlier that it wasn't quite your cup of tea.
Yeah, it's very much... I can see an audience for this, and there's stuff about it that I did like, but it's just not in my wheelhouse. So, where can I put this now? If something's going to be dumb, I want it to be sort of wacky.
Yeah.
So with this, there were dumb elements to it in terms of like how the story mechanics worked, but they weren't wacky, so I couldn't really get on board.
It just slightly gets there with some of the sidekick characters, doesn't it? It almost suggests, oh, we could have gone quite weird with this, but it doesn't fully want to do that. It avoids being, you know, it avoids the silliness it should have embraced. But then, you know, it's got a brutalness that would have been lost in a dopier plot, perhaps. A more harrowing tale, more mature, I don't know.
Yes, yeah. It's a hard call, isn't it?
What about you, Anthony? You want to finish us off with your final thoughts?
Yeah, it is kind of a hard call. Because, you know, I imagine, like, action movie fans coming in to watch this might be a bit disappointed because it doesn't focus on the action as much. And it's more about the character of Hannah and her journey. And then, like sort of artsy fans coming in might be a bit, like, off-put because there are moments of silliness that don't quite mesh.
You even have the you even disappoint the coming-of-age lesbian audience who were like, oh yeah, let's watch like a movie where a young woman discovers she's a lesbian and gets a girlfriend for the first time, because that's sort of abandoned as a non-plot point after a while.
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as I did the first time, but I still do like, I do like the film. It's interesting. I think like you said earlier on, you can't say they didn't try, and we've obviously picked out deep things in there, and it's obviously got something to say, unlike, you know, most kind of like action thriller films. or at least, you know, something that isn't governments are corrupt kind of thing. And I do enjoy, I think I'm just, I like the music too much. Like, I think it gives it more of a free pass.
Sure.
Because I've listened to the soundtrack for the last like 10 years periodically, and it's very ingrained in me. I have a sense, like, when music is really good in a film, it kind of like leaves an impact on me. Hmm.
It does elevate it
more than
well.
Anything else. And you know, I do enjoy them trying something different, and I still am left with the kind of like the atmosphere and the feeling of the film, again, rather than, you know, the plot and stuff.
Yeah, so check out the Chemical Brothers soundtrack to the film. Maybe pass on the film. Maybe not. I don't know. There's enough in there to. It's not. It's a serviceable film, but it would be hard. I'd be hard pressed to say it's like a solid thriller action movie. You know, there's. Yeah, it's just a shame, isn't it? In a way, like, you almost, you know, want it to have something beyond what it did. It's like it's so close, but not quite. Yeah, but no, the soundtrack's incredible. There's a lot of good aspects to it. The dodgy accents I'm not so sure about, and the slightly corny plot points. You know, it's got plausibility in spades, but you know, if you can try a little harder to suspend your disbelief, you might, you know, get a good laugh out of it, a good bit of entertainment. It's definitely not terrible. So yeah, Hannah, you know, I can see why they would develop a TV series. I don't know if it's any good. I don't know if I'm convinced to watch a TV series off of this, but, you know, I can see the potential. There's definitely a market for cool teenage girls killing people for fun. Or not for fun, for serious reasons. Because the government's naughty.
I feel like, though, because of the reasons I like the film, it would be hard to replicate in a TV series. Although, you know, the plot itself would benefit from expanding from a TV series, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, but as a film, you want to leave out all the boring details. Like, you don't, it's like, keep it simple. It was a good idea to not tell us, that's all. You know, we get it. They're bad, she's good. You know, let's crack on. We don't need to know why governments do bad things because they're governments. Like, the CIA cover things up because they're jerks and they want to get away with it, you know?
This was nearly 2 hours long, and there's very, like, there's, like, a little bit of slack here and there that you could maybe have taken out for runtime, but there's the stuff they left out because it didn't deserve to pad out the runtime any longer than it already was.
Hmm.
It's just incidental stuff that would have been nice, but isn't vital.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in a way you could almost say set up the movie with Eric, a bit more of father-daughter. I mean, you could do it with a montage, I suppose, but the father raises his daughter to be feral, and then upon him dying, she decides to find out. Like, you almost go, don't have him give her a switch to say, avenge me. He should be raising her there to be safe, training her to be a survivor because he wants her to be one and it's within her. And then when she like buries her father because he dies because, I don't know, a fucking bear or a wolf kills him or something, then she discovers something like in the home that she'd buried, or she finds some like clue as to her real identity in life, or she just leaves, you know, she leaves and gets into trouble because the CIA pick her up. You know, like, have it be because her dad's dead, not because here's a magical switch that will make you go on an revenge mission. Like, I would have gone that route where she wants to know about her past, and in learning about it, it becomes trouble for her, you know?
Mm.
To me, that's the simpler approach. And it does mean you don't get to fight your dad, which is a fun action movie thing that doesn't happen very often. But, you know, we don't need it. Anyway, that's just a suggestion if anyone time travels and wants to remake this film. Or if you don't time travel and just remaking it, Rich said, change a few things and you'll be sound, yeah? What do I know? Anyway, I think that's enough, right, guys? Hannah, dealt with.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so join us again when we'll pluck another film out of the big film bin of discount things from the past and dust it off, put it in our DVD players and have a look at it and then go, what was that like? Oh, what was that thing we just watched? Oh, what do you think? Oh, I think this. Oh, I think that. What do you think about that? Oh, bloody hell.
I'm really showing a rage having the DVD player.
Well, no, we very much put the DVD in. Well, I don't know.
Oh, no, we are DVD people. That makes us old farts, and we have to reconcile that.
You don't like to just watch things that Netflix spews out. You've got to look for your own things, isn't it? Pound shops and dark bits of the web where torrents with one seed exist. Got to find them as well. Anyway, join us again for another film chat another time, or look back at the myriad of other ones we've already done. And by look back, I mean listen to. Bye!
Bye-bye!